You can turn in your Bibles, if you have them this morning, to Matthew chapter 24. If not, they'll be on the screen. The verses will be on the screen this morning. As you see on the screen behind me, it says, hold what? Hold on. Some weeks are challenging, aren't they? And some days are, in the course of a week, you don't want to have too many challenging days, especially in a row. It can be a little discouraging. But some days you wonder really if you should have gotten out of bed or not. Maybe you should have slept in maybe a little bit. Sometimes we wake up on the wrong side of the bed. That is if you can get up on the other side, depending on where the wall is in your room. Sometimes you wonder how things are going to turn out. Sometimes you wonder how the prayer request that you've been praying for, maybe perhaps for months or even years, how that is going to turn out. Sometimes you're wondering is and when is there going to be a breakthrough, maybe for you or for your family. Let me encourage you with these two words, hold on. God is faithful. He is in control. Don't get derailed by some of those minor things in life. Stay the course and see God. See all the things that is going to work out for our good and for His glory. Just hold on a little bit longer and see His powerful as well as His providential hand. And I'm so thankful God gives us that hope. Where would we be today without the hope that we have in Christ? I dare say many of us, we would not be here. And I'm so thankful that we can hold on a little tighter to Him during these times. Speaking about God's powerful as well as His sovereignty, last week we took a look at, beginning the series last week, Understanding the Times and how we can be courageous in which we find ourselves in these times. I discussed a little bit last week dealing with the next major event on God's timetable. In fact, Boots actually mentioned it just a little bit ago in one of the songs we sang about too, as far as the rapture. And I'm so thankful this is a glorious event that's going to happen for the church. And whenever I talk about the church there, I'm talking to all those that have placed their faith, their confidence, their belief in Jesus Christ as Savior, and are looking forward to Him one day to return. And we'll actually be all gathered together with Him in the air, and we'll be together with the Lord forever. And all God's people said, amen. What an incredible day. I know some of you will say, what will we be wearing? I don't know. It'll be white garments eventually. We'll be robed in His righteousness, and it'll be an incredible feat in of itself. I know it's hard to believe. Some of us are going to, well, all of us that know Christ the Savior, we're going to get better looking. We won't deteriorate. There won't be necessarily any need for showers or baths or anything like that. It will be, our bodies will be like unto Christ's resurrected body. And what a time that will be for the rapture and for the saints. We also discussed last week dealing with the end times and what that signified. And if you're unable to be here last week, hopefully you can get on the internet and check that out a little bit here in the future ahead. We also took a look a little bit of the characteristics that established as far as what will be characterized by those last times. Well, if we refer to the last times, it's not just talking about the rapture per se. It's actually talking about the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, these 7 years that will be into place. And then also, of course, eventually the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that's what I'm talking about whenever I indicate as far as the end or the latter times. We discussed a little bit last week about 2 Timothy chapter 3. Take a look at there, the first 9 verses, the characteristics of those age, the end times, and their significance. There is a time of lawlessness, which we see today. Unfortunately, we also see a time of brokenness with people, individuals, and then also we see a relentless appetite for sinning and just offending God as well as other people. And these are all engrafted in with this end times. Last week we specifically mentioned sign one. Today we're going to take a look at two more signs. Last week we took a look at the key word deception. Deception will be a major factor. This was the sign number one. There will be different people that will raise themselves up as false messiahs. These will be people basically saying, follow me. These will be imposters. These will be wolves in sheep's clothing. Eventually, I even believe that their true nature will come out as far as if people are paying attention to their lives. We mentioned deception in three specific areas. Deception of sin, where they basically try to rationalize or justify their sin, which we see today. We see even a knowledge, a deception of knowledge. A lot of people will twist things. And also we took a look at the narrative from the media to different sources like that. There's a narrative out there from the world that will try to deceive and unfortunately lead many people astray. This morning we're going to consider a few more of the signs that deal with the end of the age, dealing with the end of grace, and of course getting into even the great tribulation we'll take a look at, and even the second coming of Christ. Now, all of these signs certainly have been a part of human history. You can take a look even before Jesus Christ came into the world, and even after he left it, after he ascended up to his Father up on high. All of these have been indicators, but not necessarily specific signs until Jesus mentioned them in the Gospels themselves. And there's different passages that we're going to take a look at, but this morning in Matthew chapter 24 specifically. Remember, these signs will be on the increase as far as frequency as well as intensity. Now, I know that today we see a number of different these signs happening, and eventually it's going to come a point in time that they're just going to dramatically increase until, of course, Christ returns. But this is just the beginning of sorrows, as Jesus mentions here in Matthew chapter 24. Or these are just basically the initial labor pains, if you will, before Christ returns for the second coming. Now, I know whenever my wife, I don't remember whenever my mom had me, but I do remember my wife and having the children, and I remember there was different signs that Ben was late, wasn't he, kind of. And we did everything this doctor told us to, walking in the mall, eating, and all. I love the eating part of it. I put on a little bit of sympathy weight, I remember at the time, but I remember, I was like, when is this kid going to get here? It was so frustrating. And eventually the time came where, of course, moms, their bodies are starting to get prepared for that time. It's very much similar to that time period of a woman actually giving birth as Jesus is going to actually come on the scene. These are all signs that have to come to fruition in order for, of course, Christ to come back, and the Jewish people especially, they will recognize the one whom they have pierced, and God will give them a new heart, and what a blessing time that will be. But until that time period, we still have a little bit longer to go. So Matthew chapter 24, I want to read just basically 1.5 verses today. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 6, down about the middle of verse 7. And these are two signs that we're going to look at specifically this morning. Jesus speaking here, these words are going to come to pass. God's word is always preserved for us. It's going to be able to give us certain indicators. And these are two specific signs this morning. And they both start with D, as we'll articulate here in just a few moments. Beginning in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus speaking, said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." In other words, the end isn't yet. It's still going to hold off just a little bit longer. He goes on to say, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines." You know what I find interesting about this short passage of Scripture, and even as you take a look at Matthew chapter 24 and other passages in the Gospel and throughout the Old as well as the New Testament as far as prophecies that have to come fulfilled. Jesus did not want his followers to be intimidated about the end times. I mentioned last week about how many people were a little fearful or intimidated about the end times, and especially a lot of our young people, they raised their hands. God does not want you to be intimidated about the future. God wants you to recognize that in the present, He is sufficient. We don't have to worry about things to come, especially those of us that have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. He wants us to be in a constant stage of peace. Not anxiety. He doesn't want us to be in turmoil. He doesn't want us to be confused about certain things in our lives. He wants us to rest in Him. God also wanted to know this, and I think about this because if the rapture happened like in the next minute, which it could, right? It could happen. I don't see anything in Scripture that actually has to take place before Christ would return for the church. But I think about this. God, even in His sovereignty, He wanted people to still be comforted by the truth. And especially during the Great Tribulation, He didn't want people to be so rattled and so much without hope that they would basically just end it all. It's so amazing to me, even during the Great Tribulation, even though it's going to be a time of incredible suffering and nobody's going to want to be living during that time period, It still amazes me that God is still faithful and that He's still merciful. It's going to be bad, but it's still going to be amazing that God continues to provide in different ways for His people. And so God, I even think with these two signs, He's given indicators. Even people that perhaps, maybe even, I thought about this week, people that may be watching it on video or audio later on, if the rapture would happen right now, they can perhaps listen to this and still gain comfort and hope by even these signs, which is pretty amazing in and of itself. So, Pastor Dave, what are these two signs that we just read about? Again, the first one here is sign number two. The first one was dealing with deception. Sign number two is dissension. In other words, dealing with wars and with battles, things that are going on. There's basically three groupings that I'm going to mention this morning that Jesus mentions here in our text. The first of all, the grouping is wars. The second group is wars, rumors of wars. And then, of course, it talks about kingdoms will rise against kingdoms, nations against nations. So those are those three grouping here this morning. Let's break it down just a little bit with these groupings. Wars. Battles are going to take place that are close to people, and they will feel the adverse effects of these wars. Now, shouldn't be any surprise to us. We see wars from different nations. We take a look at today, specifically wars that are happening. From 1991, Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Nigeria, Syria, the South Sudan, Ukraine, Yemen. These are just to mention a few. But on basically every continent, there is a battle that is someplace taking place in some shape or form. Sometimes these are battles because of power overthrowing. Sometimes they're battles even, unfortunately, with presidents or kings or kingdoms, and they're fighting against themselves. But literally, on every continent, there is some type of dispute. There is some type of conflict that is arising or has arose. There are, unfortunately, with wars, there are death, that there are people that die during them. That's not an easy thing to see. There are commotions that cause chaos, economic upheaval, killings. Different people are killed in different ways and slaughtered. And obviously this affects many generations. And so this is one of the signs. Jesus said that wars are going to take place. Obviously, it's something that we don't like in our culture, in our community, and in our world, but they happen. Rumors of wars. This has the idea to say, what's the difference? Well, I think actually rumors of war, it's almost like you hear it from like an earshot away. It may not necessarily be upon you, but you hear about it. Maybe you hear some of the arsenal and the artillery that's happening. And whenever war is that close to us, and I don't think I've ever been close to things like that. I know years ago, Lisa's grandfather, Papa. And he served, where was that, Dealies? In World War II, and I remember he never liked to hear the 4th of July fireworks. It brought him back to that time period, and he just didn't like that at all. And of course, the celebration, of course, of the 4th of July coming up and things that we look forward to. But people that have been through wars, it is a dramatic time. They see a lot of different things. It's almost like you could wish that you could erase it from their minds, but it's hard. But rumors of wars are going to happen. They're going to be in close and the vicinity thereof. I think because of these rumors of wars, these anxiety levels will rise in these places. And there will be unrest. There will be disturbances of mind and heart. You don't necessarily know what's going to happen from one day to the next. So it's going to be a chaotic time in which to live. The uncertainty of life. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people are going to be wanting to have extremely medicated, and there's going to be a lot of different things I think people are going to turn to. But I hope that ultimately people turn to Christ and turn to God for help. The third grouping there is nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. This is talking about the total unrest, specifically between the Jewish people and other people as well, whether it's the Jewish people themselves affecting other people or other people affecting the Jewish people. But nations will be against nations. You can start to see now, because of this unrest, the wars, the rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom is against kingdoms, that will be on a global scale, even more so than what it is even today. you can see why people are going to look for a country or a person or an individual to help deliver them out of this chaotic state. And that's whenever basically the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And he is going to sell people a bill of goods like you've never seen before. And there is going to be an incredible peace for 3.5 years. Unlike the world has ever seen it. In fact, I think it's very interesting that in the scripture it talks that even that he would even deceive the very elect if it was possible. He is going to have that much of a persuasion, so much of a charismatic, and it's not even going to be a physical thing. It will be that, but I believe even there will be a spiritual thing as well. This guy will just captivate people's hearts, obviously, only to betray and really set himself up as God after that 3.5 years, and then the Jewish people will recognize that they had fallen for the wrong individual, for a false Messiah. So we're talking about dissension and war. Do we have wars today? The truth is what? Yes. Do we have chaos today? The answer is? Yes. Are we in trouble sometimes? The answer is? Yes. But the end is not here. Okay? For the saints especially, we do not need to necessarily be intimidated by these times. These are things that have to happen. Jesus said it was going to happen, and it will be only a matter of time until it does. And then we take a look at sign number 3. This is the latter part of our reading this morning, I believe in verse 7. It says that there is going to be devastation. There's going to be devastation and famines. I think about this. There is a lack of food in many countries today. I can get all very emotional. Saw a lot of different statistics of people struggling in the world, especially during this pandemic, time that we have come through. There's been a lack of food, which is no surprise. Jesus said that you'd always have the poor with us, and he wasn't being callous about that. He was just making a statement. Either devastation comes today because of weather, drought, flooding, extreme heat or cold. So it could be weather conditions that happen because of crops failing or fading. You have vermin, insects, blights that even happen. I don't know if some of you have been affected, maybe not so much in crops, but I noticed like on my bushes and on some of my trees, the last couple of weeks I came back from vacation and I saw this like brown stuff all over my trees, and I'm like, what is going on with my trees? And I was all looking at them like, are they dying? I didn't know what was going on. My daddy goes, did you have that? I said, yeah, what is that? He goes, ah, it's kind of like a blight. You need to spray this 7 on it. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know what that is. He goes, here, I'll give you a little bit of it. I goes, all right. He was telling me all the directions yesterday. I'm like, okay, I'm going to kill these things, these little mites that are affecting the bushes and trees. But this is going to happen on a worldwide scale, even much more so than what it is even today. Do you remember during like the very beginning of the pandemic, whenever like toilet paper and paper towels were really hard to find? You know what I'm talking about? You're like, what are people doing? Okay, you go there to Walmart and you're like, there's nothing there with paper towels and toilet paper. I'm like, we're in trouble. What are you going to do? So go to different places, and of course then they started to ration and limit those type of items. That's what it's going to be like on a world scale. And it's not going to just be toilet paper and paper towels. It's going to be food. Of course, with the lack of crops and different things, there is going to be, the cost is going to be adversely affected. According to an article by BBC News back in 2012, the average person in the world, again, there's a lot more that make more and some obviously that make a lot less. The average person back in 2012 made less than $50 a day. They say, okay, worldwide, that's not that good. But it's very interesting that as food becomes more and more scarce, more and more precious, of course, it could skyrocket, the inflation and different things. I know that I saw a thing recently that there's a lot of inflation and hyperinflation with different economies, with foods and all those types of things. Right now, like Venezuela is like thousands of percent of inflation. All right, so think about this. Go to, I know that, let's just say milk is like $5. I know it's not $5. It's just like $4 and something. By the way, pray for our farmers too. We're in desperate need. If you control food, you control people. And that's one of the reasons the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he is going to control. That's why I think a lot of the small farms and stuff like that, the right, I know there's a lot of different reasons for that. But if you control large farming corporations and structures, you're going to control people. And that's, I believe that's how it's going to come down to it. A lot of small farmers are going to be harder to make a living about that. And that saddens my heart because I grew up on a farm. We see inflation in Venezuela. It's like increased like 3,000%. All right. So it actually got better within the last couple of weeks. It went down to like 2,700 and some percent. But that's basically like, say if milk was $5, I know it's not, but can you imagine for a gallon of milk being $5 and then at the end of it being $5,000? You're like, no. And your wages haven't gone up any, so you're like, what are we going to do? And people are legitimately going to be hungry. There is going to be a shortage of food on a worldwide scale unlike the world has ever seen, even going back to, I think, the time of Joseph's as well. Unfortunately, thousands die every day because of a lack of food. It's hard for me to grasp that, actually. I could have shown you pictures of malnourished adults, skinny children. It would just break your hearts. We've seen sometimes them on television and things like that. I didn't think this would be a good time to show it because we're going to enjoy food. We are just so blessed. We have freezers. We know what we're going to eat today, usually for lunch, supper. Some children, some adults, they don't have that luxury. It's just, they can't even comprehend that. Sorry. Some of them are on the verge of death, and undoubtedly I know that if I showed you pictures of these individuals, it would affect you. Some countries are hurting for food in very real ways. I mentioned just a few of them. There are many of them. Africa, China, North Korea, Ukraine, India, Ethiopia, just to name a few. And I know India and Ethiopia, they're starving a lot, and unfortunately they have a lot of resources. They have actually cows that they could actually eat, but because of their belief system, a lot of them believe that their ancestors returned the sacred form of a cow. But literally a third of the population of cows and beef are actually in India, which is unfortunate, and it also reveals to us, I think, the signs and times in which we live. People worship the creation instead of the Creator Himself, which is really tragic. It's indicated that India has about 30% of the world's population of beef, yet they won't consume it. Yet I think about this, we don't have to go around the world to see people in need. There are people in Mifflin County, people in Pennsylvania, people in the United States that are hurting for food. Sometimes we are so blessed and sometimes we don't realize it. Especially dealing with this, I thought about what would I do if the pandemic would have lasted another 3 or 4 months? It just shows you how independent we are upon God's goodness and His faithfulness. May we never think that we deserve the things that we have. Because if you start thinking that way, it shows really a heart of ungratefulness. Be very, very careful. The end times are fastly approaching. I look at this in our culture today with all the riots and different things like that. I'm telling you, it's not that far off until we see Jesus return. During these end times, it's going to get worse and worse, and these signs of deception, of dissension, and also devastation, they will become, unfortunately, a reality of life. It'll just be the norm eventually, and it's only going to get worse until Jesus returns. That's why, especially during these times, we need to turn our eyes on Jesus. I can honestly say this. If the Lord tarries another 20 years, I will be surprised. I will. Jake said to me this morning, he said, Dad, whenever I get close to your age, he said, if you're still living, he said, it's another 30 years. He said, I'll be 38 years old. I'll be an old man. I'm like, well, not that old, right, Jake? Time is all relative. But I thought about this. You know what? If the Lord does tarry I hope that the young people especially, they stay close to Christ. Don't forsake Him. Stay close to Him. Those of us that are older, and those of us that will taste death, it's only for a brief moment. And then we see Jesus, what an incredible event that will be. But stay close to Him. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. And there's going to be troubles, and there's going to be a lot of them coming down the pike, especially as God tarries His coming. That's why we need to turn our eyes upon Him. If I didn't know Christ as Savior during these times, I would be running to somebody to tell me the truth. And the truth is that only Jesus Christ can save you. He is the only one that can pardon your soul, your sins, everything that you've committed, past, present, future sins. He is the only one that you need to cry out to. A pastor cannot save you. I do not have that ability. I don't have that authority. There is only one person, one name under heaven whereby we must be saved, and it is Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Him today, do not leave the premises without placing your faith in Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through Him. It's not just by doing good works. It's not by attending church. It's not by memorizing Scripture. It's by listening to the Spirit of God and turning our hearts over to Him. It's having a heart of repentance. I want everyone here and amongst our church family, everybody that's in attendance, everybody in our community, everyone in the world, I wish that they would know the person that I know. But the reality is there's some people even listening to that, even with my tears, that are going to be hardened of heart and they won't turn to Him. Help us, God. I pray that you're not one of them this morning. Don't leave here untouched, uncleansed, because there is a God who can make you whole again and give you a life far better than what you deserve. And what a blessed time that will be. In closing this morning, be courageous for Christ. Be courageous for Him. Love the unlovely. Forgive the inexcusable. Share the gospel with other people. Encourage one another. Strengthen the weary and also those people that have fainted. Don't navigate through this life walking merely by your sight, but by faith. We must understand the times so that we make the most use of the time that is given to us, so that we can influence, so we can impact our community for Christ. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus.